Otherwise, it feels itself.
Okay.
We'll never come back.
L'chaim, l'chaim. We're recording. But before we start, Tom wanted to give us a little book review, fill us in on this very interesting book that he brought along.
I didn't know if there was something coming up.
Well, I mean, it'll become more relevant as we get more into the...
I just pointed out, if you haven't seen it, it's called Shirim Haluach HaIvri. And it has everything, any question, everything you ever want to know about the Jewish calendar, chronology, different minyanim, minyan sharot. And aside from that, it also happens to be a beautiful book because it's all handwritten.
You've got a calendar in it?
It's got a perpetual calendar, so you have to follow the math if you want to.
Sort of like an abacus, but for the Jewish calendar.
That's one of the chapters in there. But if you wanted to know, like, what the sarot of the Jewish calendar are, or you know, when the Hilchot Rambam, or what they did in the Mishnah, and Minyan Shtarot, when Minyan Shtarot started, why it's called Minyan Shtarot, also the machloket about Yovlot for Shemitah, about when that counting is, and how that goes together, and Minyan.
What's it called?
Everything. Shirim Luach HaIvri. And it's just been reprinted, so there are.
When did he write this?
Sar Shalom. I don't know, but he's a calendar maven, and his son or his grandson lives in Efrat, which is where I got this updated volume.
I was reminded of a very good book I read a couple of years ago by Elisheva Karlibach, Professor Elisheva Karlibach of Columbia. She wrote a book called Palaces of Time, which is about the role of calendars in medieval and early modern Jewish life. In many homes, the only book that people had, maybe aside from a chumash and a sitter, and sometimes not even that, was the calendar. And just like we have, you know, like in a few months you'll be able to go into all the bookstores. Yeah, well, in other words, it was a similar type of thing. It was, you'd get your yearly calendar, which was necessary because living in Christian Europe, it was, you know, there was need. I mean, this will come up tangential to our Gemara. People were not, in the pre-modern world, people were not as tuned into the date. On any given day, people didn't necessarily know what the date was. And there was a need to know certain calendarical things so that you could adjust your davening accordingly, you'd know when to say Rosh Chodesh. And it was also important for the Jews in Christian society to know when the Christian holidays were.
When the next pogrom was going to be.
Precisely. And because there were days that it was forbidden to do trade, to do business, to have your shops open, etc. And you needed to know these things. And there were Jews whose whole endeavor was to produce these calendars year in and year out. And then people would keep them. That would have, and some people, it would be, you know, the record of your yard sites and other things like that. And would have, in some cases, they were very beautifully decorated. It was a kind of object of art, even though it was a passing object of art, because you'd have to get a new one. Today, you know, the same way that fewer people have this, but I remember every year we would go, before the digital calendars, right? Every year we would go and buy a calendar to hang on our refrigerator, and we would copy over every beginning of every what?
You still do.
We would copy over all the birthdays from last year, so you'd remember the nephew's birthday, the niece's birthday, etc. The yard sites, whatever it was. And the calendar, maybe last year you had a calendar with cats playing with string, and this year you'll have a calendar with puppy dogs, or you know, whatever it was. And you know, the role of the calendar in life was a necessary religious object. You know, the degree to which Kedushat Hazman, aside from Shabbat, which is fairly easy to keep on top of. First of all, you live in Christian society, so you at least always know when Sunday is. So you know when Shabbat is? It's the day before Sunday, or it's 6 days after Sunday. But even that, you know, the Gemara has a sugya which we've learned, I think, more than once. Now, what happens if you forget that which is Shabbos, which the Gemara, like, imagines taking place if you're lost in the desert? But it need not be. right? Forgetting which day is Shabbos. So, okay, so Meila Shabbos you can keep track of, but even Rosh Chodesh, it wasn't necessarily so easy to keep track of. To say nothing of the other holidays, or when you're supposed to start saying "Vetein Talumat Alevracha," or when Zaydi's Yortzeit is, etc. These were things that the need to be cognizant of time was very important. We live in a world where we know down to the last second when Shkia is. Even in our lifetimes, this wasn't the case. Right? In other words, when we were kids, you know, it didn't matter if you lived in central New Jersey or... Right? If you lived in central New Jersey or if you lived in Long Island or up in Muncie... Candlelighting was the same time. Right? Shabbos was, even though in reality...
on the calendar, it only said New York.
Because you had New York. So New York was the greater New York area. And the truth is, the halacha builds in buffers, you know, to account for that. But now we know it down to the precise millisecond based upon your exact longitude and longitude, right? That Knesset Shabbat here in Zayit is different than in Migdal Oz or Alon Shvut. The Gemara is aware of this. The Gemara is aware that the further west you live, the later Shkia is. Right? The Gemara talks about Tzipori, right? Which is in the Galil, and I think the Gemara says, I might be flipping this. The Gemara says you should be like the Machnise Shabbat in Tzipori and the Motzi Shabbat in Teveria, right? In other words, you should start Shabbat
early and
you should start it early and take it out later. It's probably the other way around because Tzipori is to the west. Right. So you should be like the Machnise Shabbat in Teveria and the Motzi Shabbat in Tzipori. Right, so the further west you are, the later Shabbat goes out. Right? As if you live in New York, Shabbat ends before it ends in Chicago. Right. But in the same time zone, but within the
different time zone.
But within the same time zone, if you live in Maine,
New York
and Maine and Western Pennsylvania are in the same time zone. Maine is very far to the east. Right? Maine sticks out. It's like the most easternmost part of America. Right? So Maine and Western Pennsylvania are in the same time zone. Right? But Shabbat's going to end very different times and come in very different times because of both the difference of, not just the difference of latitude, but more so, not just longitude, but also latitude. Right? Okay. So the Gemara talked about Arba Rosh Hashanah Heim. Right, and then we were talking about why be'echad b'nisan Rosh Chodesh l'melachim. So the Gemara says l'melachim l'may hilchata. So like, what do you need to have? I understand why we need to have a Rosh Hashanah for peirot, because there's a halacha that you can't be mafrish from one year on the next. So you have to determine what is that cutoff date. But what do you need a Rosh Hashanah for kings? So Omar Rav Chisda l'shtarot. No, you don't really need. For kings, but we need a dating system, and the dating system on shtarot, on documents, principally shtarot chov, right? Bills of loan. So you need a dating system, and the dating system was not. You didn't look and see what's today's date.
Today's the 2nd of April.
No, the Jewish date. Kavav Adar Bet Tavshin Ayin Tet. Right? They didn't use that. What?
It's Kav Zion already.
Oh, it's Kav Zion because it's after Shkia. So, Or L'Kav Zion Adar Bet Tavshin Ayin Tet. Hey, Tavshin Ayin Tet. Right, so we have this very precise dating system, which we think of as like the Jewish dating system, but this apparently was not in use by Chazal for Shtarot. And they would date according to...
The reign of the king.
So you need to have a cutoff date. For date of the king. Why do you need to have a cutoff date for date of the king? Ditznan. Shtare chov hamukdamin psulin. Vamucharin ksherin. If you predate a shtar chov, it's pasul. So let's say you're a nice guy. True. You're going to lend me $1,000.
Shekel.
Maybe.
Shekel?
For using the lunar calendar, we have to use Hebrew money.
Okay, you're going to lend me 4,000 shekels.
But the rate's less than that.
I round it up.
Because you're a nice guy, you round up.
The halakha says that if you lend me money, we have to have a shtar. As a matter of fact, I think I mentioned this last week. We saw this halakha in Sanhedrin. It's usur to lend any money at all without a shtar, even though that is not that's the halakha in Morin King. And if I'm on the line in the supermarket and I realize I'm 2 shekels short and you're in front of me, you give me 2 shekels, right? So technically speaking, we should take out a little chit of paper and we should write a shtar chov.
Like an IOU.
Exactly. Well, that's what a shtar chov is, right?
I could just give you 2 shekels.
Hmm?
I could just give you 2 shekels.
That's a matana.
Yeah, you could.
But
you could give me a matana.
You're supposed to write a shtar.
No, it's for a matana. You don't need to give a shtar.
Oh,
but if it's a loan. No, because what do we say? We say colloquially,
can you
lend me 2 shekels? Right?
We also say, can I borrow a sheet of paper? We have no intention of borrowing.
Right. So so maybe we should be careful not to say that. Right? I had a friend in college.
Best is borrowing a tissue.
I had a friend. Yeah, right. By borrowing a tissue, I think we all agree that metaphorically we do not mean to give it back. I have a friend in college. He owes me about $1,000. It's a long time since college. He never borrowed more than $1 at a time. It was always like you're online. You're at line. You're standing in front of the soda machine. You're online in the cafe. Oh, you got a dollar. You got a dollar. You borrowed $1,000, $1 at a time. So, so technically speaking, I mean, I wouldn't have lent him $1,000 without a shtar chov. But $1 1,000 times, you don't feel it the same way.
Do everyone know of any sense of when people started commonly using the Jewish date 5,000 X?
So if we want to pause, let's save that question. We'll maybe save a few minutes at the end. We'll come back to that. So for Starcho, so if today, on this date, if we backdate it, so then the shtar is pasul. Why is the shtar pasul?
What do you mean when you say backdate? You're talking about
for the purpose of simplicity, let's use the English dates.
Okay.
If he gives me a loan today, we're going to write a shtar. We're going to write April 2nd, 2019.
But he said backdate it.
But if we backdate it, if we write a shtar for March 25th,
right?
Or for any date earlier,
yeah,
even though the date is today,
yeah,
that shtar is pasul.
Because
a shtar, a halva'a creates a lien on my property. When he gives me a loan, right, he acquires a lien on my property. My property is now mishu'abad to him, because if I don't pay him back, he can go to Betin, and he can collect from my property.
You have to sell your house.
If I lend you, if you lend me money, you now basically, you don't own, but you have a shibud, you have a lien worth 4,000 shekels on my property. If before I pay back the loan, either because I'm late in paying back the loan or because the loan hasn't come due, I sell my house, what happens to that lien?
It goes with
the new owner. I sell my house to Ben. You have a sheep, which is why when Ben buys my house, what does any good lawyer do?
He checks to see
that there's no lien on the property. And if he buys it anyway, and a chinami, you can now go after him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
To pay me.
So if I sell my house, if I sell my house to Ben
on March 31st,
and on April 2nd you give me a lien, but we backed a loan. You give me a loan, but we backdate the shtar to March 1st. So now you have a piece of paper, which is sheker, because that piece of paper gives you a false lien on his house. That's not always true. Not every shtar with an early date is pasul. Only a shtar halva'a. Only a shtar that would create a lien.
Can I loan you money without putting a lien on anything? You need money.
No, that's the definition of a halva. Right?
In other words, you have nothing. You have the shirt on your back.
Oh, so that's an interesting question. Can you give a loan to somebody, what we do with the prusbul, where we, with the loan, we give you a bit of property, as it were, in order to create a lien. But in principle, if there's properties, there's a lien. But not a vishta. A check is a shtar. So today, if I owe you money, I want to pay you back the money. So if I write a check to Dr. Ben Zev, and so, you know, this happens all the time. You're writing a check. Oh, what's the date? So you backdate it. So it doesn't matter. If I write a check to you today that says March 31st.
According to Allah, that does.
No, because a check doesn't create a lien. A check is a transfer of wealth.
So it's like the star halva'a.
Cash.
By definition.
Why not? If you write me a check and it bounces, I can come after you for that money.
You can, but you have no lien on my...
Sure. I mean, I don't know what Israeli law says. If you write me a check for $1 million because you bought a house for me or whatever,
right. And then
your check bounces and I can come after you and grab your
right,
TV.
Right, but you don't have a... Oh.
Yeah, effective.
I mean, but certainly according to the halakha,
trying to understand, is there any other mushroom?
If I give you a gift... If I say, oh, happy birthday, here's a check for $100, 100 shekels, and that check bounces, you have no claim on me.
Sure, of course I do.
No, it's a gift.
So what?
You can kind of check in a contract. Check in a contract.
If he gives a gift
and the check bounces,
if I give you a gift of $1,000, can I break into your house and steal it back because it was a gift?
No.
If I steal money and I give it to Stucca, is that okay?
If I give you a gift and you say, "Oh my God, he gave me a diamond."
Yeah.
Right, and it turns out it's plastic. Am I chayav?
It's a little different.
The check is different. When you sign a check, it creates a hold.
It's a promissory note, in effect.
Maybe I don't know.
Going to check in the stars. Is there any other mashmud to the date on the star, predating the star, if there isn't a lien, or other than the lien, there's no other mashmud to it. In other words, you lent me money on March 25th. You forgot. You wrote down March 11th. If no action occurred between March 11th and March 25th, it changes the fact in the star.
So that's a machlokus. It's a machlokus. According to Tosfos and Bava Metzia, a shtar mukdam is inherently possible. It's inherently possible. It's meaningless. It's
that makes right? sense, because otherwise you're telling a lie when you say the shtar says I lent you this money on March 10th. In fact, I didn't loan you the money on March 10th.
That's
exactly what I said. So Tosfos says it's inherently possible. It's a meaningless document. It has no halachic mashma'ut whatsoever. It's inherently possible. It's like as if I give you a check, and on the check I write instead of writing, instead of writing April 2nd, 2019, I write April 2nd, 2091. I flip the two things. What's the status of that check?
Post-dated check.
Well, it's not just post-dated, but it's...
very.
You won't be around.
What's the status of that check? That check is pasul. The bank will not honor it. It's the same as if I had written on the check void, right? It's a psul in the check. If I give you a check, I forget to sign it. It's a psul in the check.
Forget to sign it.
Right? So here in Israel, they're very makbid about these things
because they can collect money.
Because they can anything you put in amalah. Now you know. Now you. It's so convenient. Have you started depositing checks on the phone?
Yeah.
What's a check?
The mobile.
It's very convenient, except if the signature, like a lot of people like have these loopy, the signature goes down to where the, what is it, magnetic,
the numbers, yeah.
Where the numbers are, the bottom, so the phone can't read it. And it's, you can't deposit it on the, so you have to like learn to be careful not to, like in the office where we still pay certain things with checks, so we have two signatures and a stamp. So the stamp, unless you do it exactly right, it covers up the numbers, and people complain that they can't deposit it. They have to actually go to the bank. So Tosfos says a predated check, a shtar mukdam, is inherently posel. It's like it's garnished. But Rashi says that it's posel for the purposes of collecting the chov from the guy who bought the property, right, from the third party. But it still functions as actual evidence that there was a loan between us, even though it's unclear what the actual date of the loan is. But in terms of my obligations to you, right, to pay back the money, so I'm still obligated. So that's a machlokus between Rashi and Tosfos.
When the buyer of the property acquired the property?
In other words, if you agree, in other words, if there's two dates, there's the actual date of the loan and there's the pre-date of the loan.
And there's the date on which the person buys the named property.
Right, so if we know, so that's, that might be enough, Kamina.
It has if to be we know, between let's, the two.
Let's say,
of the
let's
of the
say
two,
I we made the loan on April 1st, but the shtar was dated March 25th. And you actually bought the property on April 7th, right? So then the fact that it was predated, if everyone agrees, if the Edim agree, if the Edim agree that the Love, the borrower, sold the property to the third party, L'chola Deot, after the loan, so according to Rashi, so then he could still have a lien on the property. According to Tosfot, maybe no. Maybe no. I don't know that for sure, but maybe that's the Nafkamina. Maybe that's the Nafkamina.
I didn't read the Tosfot inside, but it doesn't make sense to say that the document is void.
It's not this Tosfot. It's a Tosfot in Bava Metzia.
Well, I definitely agree. Right. When you say that the document is void, like, but there was a loan.
No, so there's a loan.
Right.
Right?
So what you said, I know very little about this, but you said like that the loan itself creates the lien. So whether
the shtar creates the lien.
Okay.
And if it's a posel shtar, so then it can generate a lien.
But there's no lien, right?
Klape Shmaya, the love, the borrower, is always obligated, morally and legally,
even
to pay back his debts. The problem is his ability to prove it, or his ability to collect it from the third party. Right? So anyway, so shtar mukdam. So what does a shtar mukdam have to do with the melachim? So you need to know
the year.
First year.
So
the
if
year of the
if
of.
If you know every unlike we last week we discussed this in America, the new president comes into unless there's a death or a resignation. Unless there's a death or a resignation, January to all the reign of the new president always starts on January 20th, once every 4 years. But kings don't work that way. Even prime minister, even Bibi Melech Yisrael doesn't work that way, right? The government falls, the government come, right? You don't know when it's going to be. Even though we know when the election's going to be, we don't know when there's going to be a new prime minister. Because who knows how long it's going to take to... election. Oh, by the way, next week, are we having shiur next week? Next week is next Tuesday's election. Yeah.
What do you think?
I think the Rabbanit Rashi said that on the Yom HaBechirot, you're Patur Mi Torah.
Oh, yes? Yeah. Only if you vote twice.
Vote early and vote often.
Yes, no?
It's fine with me.
So, sure.
I'll
be
going to the States, so I won't be here.
So, you're not going to vote?
I'm going to vote, but I'm leaving in
the
night.
So, how long are you going for?
A week.
Oh, okay. Not like one of these crazy trips. You like disappear for months at a time. So even though we know when the election is, we don't know when we're going to have a new Rosh Memshalah. right? Or we'll have a new memshala, right? Because it takes a while to put it together. So since if 30 days, they have another 30 days. If he can't do it, then they give it to the other person, and we reset
there's
the clock.
And then it right. Noted,
so Chazal did not assume that people would know what the anniversary of the ascension of the new king would be. What? But you would know the year. So if you knew the year, right, that was enough, right? Mm. Like think of this is true for a lot of people. You know people that were in your grade in school, right? So you don't know where they born in. You know, like in America, school started on if you were born after September.
Can I explain it a lot simpler?
Yeah,
I have a rough idea of the grades, the classes that my grandchildren are in. Yeah. Birthdays, exactly which is which.
Well, that's why you have a wife.
And she takes care of the calendar.
Yes. Outsourced your memory.
Wouldn't it work out that the last year of the previous king could be the first year of the next king?
No.
It could be the same date.
I see that you've read ahead in the Gemara. Baruch Shekivanta.
Why would it be
descended?
Like,
one king dies and no one comes
in. See, you have to put that in the Gemara. So let's look ahead. Tanu Rabbanan. Melech. No. Look, don't be such chokmologs. Look at the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Melech she'amad be'esrim v'tisha ba'adar. Meaning the last day of the previous year, if Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the first, right? Kevan she'hegia echad b'nisan alta lo shana. Right, and he becomes king at the very end of Adar. Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes; it's coming up. You know, it's like mamish. It's mamish in Yom Diyoma. Right today, right now, somebody becomes king. So a Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
Yeah,
so Shabbos.
So this Friday, he became king.
He becomes king, and then Shabbos. It's already we begin the second year of King whomever.
He's got a full year of ethic.
Right,
you got a full year out of his belt one day.
Right, ve'im lo amad ela be'echad b'nisan. But if he only becomes king on the first of Nisan, ein monin lo shana ad she'egia Nisan achir. So that whole first year is year one, and then when you get to the next Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it's year two. So in other words, you could have a year which is 365 days long, or a year which is one day long, or anything in between, depending upon when you start.
During that first year, you write on the Shtar.
You write on the Shtar, year one of the reign of King Ploni. Amar
Ein Monin Lo Shana, I would have thought, means...
Ein Monin Lo Shana Ad Shigye... No, and it's that guy. The guy becomes king on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Right?
Wait a whole year, the second year.
You don't count him another year... Until another year.
But that's obvious. Why would you?
I see. You looked at it in the Gemara. The Gemara's going to ask.
I would have thought it means something else. But anyway,
the Gemara's going to ask these exact questions.
As compared to the first guy who had a year that lasted a day, the second guy's got to wait all year.
But first,
obviously, has to wait all year. Why?
It's just saying it's supposed to the first
guy. Didn't. But the first.
Words, this is the Bryce. The Bryce
but
is
obviously the first guy didn't.
No, so that's the point. The Bryce is establishing this idea that sometimes a quote-unquote year is a day, and sometimes a year is a whole year. Or something in between. Omar Mar...
From the first of Nisan with the new guy, we already say in the first year of his reign.
Second year.
No,
no. If he became king on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that's his
he becomes
first year.
Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
Is that what he's asking?
Yeah.
Right.
He becomes king what day?
On Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
Right. So that's first year.
So that's his first year. So for
the whole year, the first day is now different than the second day. It's the first year of his reign. That's exactly normal.
Okay, well, anyway, again, since nobody went to the bother of looking ahead, let me tell you, this is precisely what the Gemara is going to be asking in a second. Let's keep your pants on. So Omar Mar Melech Shamad be'esrim v'tisha ba'adar kevan she'egiyeh echad b'nisan alta lo shana ha'kamashmalan. And it's now the Gemara dissects the Brisa. It repeats it in order to dissect it. Ha'kamashmalan. What? That's what it's coming to teach you. D'nisan Rosh Chodesh Lamachim v'yom echad b'shana chashuv shana. And even one mere day is like a whole year for the purposes of dating shtarot. Ve'im lo amad ela be'echad b'nisan, ein monin lo shana ad shiyagia nisan acher. pshita. So, Ben, baruch shekivanta. What did you say? What was the essence of your question?
Pshita.
It's baruch, obviously. It's bahu detema. Like, why do we have to tell? If I know that the guy becomes king on the end of Adar, so a day later, it's already year two, pshita, that if he becomes king on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that whole first year is a year. Pshita, mahu detema. Pshita, it's obvious. Lo, tsricha, it's necessary to state what Ben thought was obvious. De amina, de imnu alea me Adar. Mahu detema, nimnu le tartin shanin, kamash malon. I might have thought, how does it work? How does somebody become king? How do you get to be king?
Dies.
It's good to be the king.
The previous king died.
I'm so glad that somebody died.
Sorry.
I was teaching, you know, I teach these 18, 19-year-old girls, and every cultural reference is completely over their head. Now, you know, I was teaching them the Lowly Man of Faith. So you talk about Star Trek, they have no idea what you're talking about.
Of course.
They don't have a clue. I said, Star Trek was a very popular TV show, Mr. Spock.
There are still spin-offs.
There are still spin-offs running.
So I said, Star Trek, 20 years, Mr. Spock. Right? They have no idea. I said, it was a very popular TV
show.
They
look at you like you're coming from
another
planet.
It was a very popular
TV
show.
You're an old man, aren't you?
In the 1960s. Now, of course, their parents weren't alive. So very popular TV show. So one girl says, Rabbi, I think you're mistaken. It's not a TV show. It was a movie. And I said, it was a TV show. That spawned a whole slew of television series and three movie series.
TV series, and also movies.
Not even three, more than that.
There were more than three series,
and there have been about six
Star
or seven
Trek,
movies.
The original series, oh, Star Trek, The Next Generation, Star Trek, The Animated, The Deep Space Nine, Voyager.
Oh yeah,
back in
the I never saw the
anyway, so discovered, yeah. But you're missing the point. She goes, "Are you sure?" I said, "Trust me. There's nothing I'm more sure of in my life." So they don't get any of the references. So we were talking about Lowly Man of Faith. Talking about marriage. So I said, "Marriage is what brings us together today." And I was so delighted. I was so delighted that most of them got it. So thank you for catching that.
my kids would get it.
Mao de Tema. So how do you become the king? It's good. Oh, this is how we get off track. Right? It's good to be the king. So how do you become a king?
The old one kicks the bucket.
Not exactly.
Or you kill him. This revolt.
In other words,
or you're elected,
generally speaking, the melucha in Israel goes by Yerusha. But that's why Bibi wants Yair to become
that's going to happen.
It goes by Yerusha. And it goes, even though this didn't always happen historically, but in principle, it goes, you know, just like in England today. In England today, there's a, you know, like the line to the throne. You know, like it used to be, what's his name, the redhead?
Harry.
Harry used to be number two, right? But then they start having all these kids, and he just keeps getting bumped down the line. Like, you can go from being number two in line to being number 20 in line pretty quick. So, because, you know, all of your nieces and nephews and their children, by the time he's done, by the time he'll live a long time, because that's how it is in that family. They live to be like 100, right?
You know, Charles, but that's a whole other story.
No, like the queen mum, she like lived to like 101, right? And you know what? You know, she said what gave her the arichas yamim. She said a big tumbler of gin every afternoon. So if you have arichas yamim, by the time Harry shuffles off, so there'll be so many descendants of Will. No, not Charles. He's a descendant of Charles.
Yeah.
The Wills.
William.
Right? That they all leapfrog poor Harry in line until he's got no chance. So,
well, with Harry's wife, he doesn't have a chance anyway.
Yeah. So how do you become king? So it's Yerusha, and it goes according to this. Well, just like the way we have laws of Kadimut. Of precedent in Yerusha of property, right? So too to get the king. So your father dies, are you the king?
If you're the next in line.
Yes. If you're the next in line.
Yes and no.
You have to be coronated.
Lowell, I mean, my political humor aside, I wish no assassination on anyone occupying the office of president. The president gets assassinated. Who's the president?
Vice president.
Vice president.
Only after he's sworn in.
Right. Only once he's sworn
in. But that's a line of dissent. President, vice president.
No. But in other words, the death of the previous president does not ipso facto turn the vice president into...
No, it's the president who's in power.
No, the president. If the president drops dead, the vice president.
Trump drops dead today. Pence would be the
right.
Pence would be the acting president.
It doesn't happen the split second that Trump's Kentucky Fried Chicken filled heart stops beating.
He has to be sworn in. Johnson was sworn in on the plane going back to Washington.
So what happens
if he died.
So what happens if Pence executes some presidential power? Let's not talk about Pence. You'll see. Give me a little trust.
He's getting
Are you sure, Rabbi?
Just don't know.
The president dies. Before the vice president is sworn in, let's say he does something that requires the office of the president.
He issues a pardon.
What is the validity of that pardon?
Constitutionally, isn't he considered acting president until he's sworn in? Constitutionally,
under the 25th Amendment, he's the acting president.
Okay.
So it would be valid, but the question would be if somebody
made a loan between the assassination and his being sworn in. And it was between the 30th of Adar and the 1st of...
Oh, okay. I mean, it was between the 30th...
Before the 25th Amendment that made sure that
there was
the vice president, ipso facto, becomes the acting president with all the rights thereto pertaining.
What happened before that?
Right. So what would happen if in the Banish Mashot, the vice president pardoned someone? Before he put
acting,
the hand on the...
He's already acting president.
No, so, but before prior to the 25th Amendment...
Oh, before.
He wasn't acting president.
Oh, he wasn't calling the...
Right? So he didn't have the...
Didn't have
right?
the power.
So the king dies. The son becomes king.
But he still has to be crowned.
But he still has to... Not crowned.
Coronated.
But agreed on.
Not coronated.
But agreed on.
Agreed on. By whom?
The Archbishop.
Archbishop of Canterbury.
Canterbury.
So the Rambam says, you know, in the pasuk, you know, our whole attitude towards Malachim is rather ambiguous. The Torah doesn't view kingship as inherent good. As a matter of fact, according to the Gemara, according to most Rishonim, most famously the Abar Benel, kingship is a bidyeved. It would have been better not to have a king. It would have been better to have Moshe Rabbeinu. And maybe according to the original plan of history, the Jews would have come out from Yetzias Mitzrayim, they would have gone to Har Sinai, they would have gotten the Torah, no one would have ever heard of Chet Ha'Egel, no one would have ever heard of Chet Meraglim. We would have marched straight into Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe would have been. Not having had hit the rock, would have let us in. And he would have been, maybe he would have even had the status of Mashiach. They would have built Beit HaMikdash. They would have fought the kibush of Eretz Yisrael. They would have set up, and Moshe Rabbeinu would have been not the king, but the Navi Supreme.
But right? He is a Navi Supreme.
Yes, but in other words, he didn't exercise political leadership. And because there was weak political leadership in during the times of the Shoftim, after Yehoshua fights the fight and conquers the land, Shoftim is a story of abject,
chaos.
Generally abject failure, right? And when you get to Sefer Shmuel, the desire to have a king is viewed as something not completely positive. So when the Torah in
overall the kings were good for the country because it gave order.
It did, historically speaking, by and large, with some very notable exceptions, the kingship gave more order than the Tkufat HaShoftim. But when the Torah says Som Tasim Alecha Melech Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Bo, so the Rishonim say, in light of what we know in Sefer Shmuel, that Shmuel says, "What do you need a king for?" He has to be kind of dragged, kicking and screaming to appoint the king. That it's a bidyeved. That if they want a king, so here's how a king should be. But maybe not having a king would have been if history had taken a different path, it might have been different. So when the pasuk says Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Bo, that the king should be chosen by God, that he is God's anointed. So what does that mean?
Mashiach.
So the Medrash Halacha, not Mashiach, the Messiah of the end of days, but each king has a din of a Mashiach because he's Mashuach ba Shem and Amishcha. So the Sifrei already says that the king has to be chosen by the Navi, right? Certainly, Shmuel's selection of Shaul and then David is a precedent for this. So what does it mean? How can you have a Yerusha and also like being chosen by Navi? How does that work? So even though the kingship transfers to, in other words, Charles, Elizabeth, long may she reign, but when she
kicks the bucket,
shuffles off, so Mela, Charles de facto becomes king. But until the coronation, there's this kind of intermediary period where he's king, but he's not fully king because he hasn't yet been crowned. And in England, you know, I mean, it was so long ago the last time they did it, but there are those movies of it. The ceremony of coronating a king or queen in England is based on the Torah, right? They anoint them with oil, right? It looks more like the way the Kohen Gadol is inaugurated, right? The oil is placed on their head, the oil is placed on their foot, the oil is placed on their breast. When Elizabeth became queen, you know, it was being broadcast, and there was a whole shaila of how were they going to anoint her breast, right, on television, right? I mean, she didn't take her shirt off, but she revealed her right? But you couldn't show this on television, as the archbishop is anointing her.
What was it to do with a man who just take off his shirt, or?
Yeah, for a man to unbutton the top button and open like this is not. But in this was 19. What year was it? It was 1950. 1950, right? 52. So it was scandalous and not proper.
Especially for a queen.
Especially for a queen, but
she wasn't queen yet.
So
that's what we're talking about.
So they did it behind the screen, right? They did it mechureha hapargod. So the same thing here. The king is king. The father dies; he becomes king. Right, so it could be that the previous king dies on Kafter Adar, and the son becomes king. And then they only get around to having the Navi
on Aleph Nisan,
choose him, appoint him, right, anoint him on Aleph Nisan.
So what's wrong with that?
That's the answer to the Gemara. So I might have thought
it's not Pshita,
right? It's not Pshita. In other words, the guy who becomes king on first of Nisan. So really, when did he become king?
You might have thought
the 29th. When his father died on Kaftet.
So I might have thought that we date it from the date that the father died.
because really he bets and becomes king on that day. No, you have to wait until he officially takes, until Johnson puts his hand on the Bible, he should not exercise any presidential duties. Right? You know, there was a thing, the first Obama inauguration, John Roberts was Chief Justice, he swears him in, and he did it balpe. Right? He was mashbia him balpe, instead of having a little card with the oath written out, and he messed it up. Do you remember this? He messed up the wording. Right? And so it prompted like this thing, which is, you know, largely symbolic, but it has a lahavdila halachic.
It has a chalut.
Chalut, right? So later that afternoon, he came back and redid it. Right? Because the first thing the president did, the president first signs all the appointments of the cabinet, right? So like, what's the state of all of those actions? I don't know, but to be machmir, so nobody should be able to claim that he doesn't have the authority of the president because he wasn't technically signed in, since the Constitution mandates he has to say this text of this inauguration, of this oath, right? So he came back and he re-oathed him.
It's like Giyur L'chumra.
Yeah, Giyur.
Like reading from a puzzle Torah.
So don't think that if the last king died at the end of Adar and the next king only officially gets sworn in on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that it's already the second year. Kamash Malon? No. That's why Bennett states the obvious. Tanu Rabbanan, Meit Ba'adar V'amad Achar Tachtav Ba'adar.
So where do you... But where do you see in the words there that there's an anointment in Nisan and not in Adar?
The Gemara says, go back to the top line.
Pshita.
Tzricha, de imnu aleha me'adar. Right, he was already effectively king. At the last minute on Adar, right? You might say, and therefore that's the Havamina. Right, you might have said he becomes king when his father died at the end of Adar. Kamash Malon, no, reject that Havamina. It's not true.
Okay.
Right? So
I
therefore...
doesn't say here anything about Shemana Mishcha or...
No, so wait, Rashi says, or...
No, because it seems to be saying that...
Nimnu v'gamru hasarim limnoto. Right, says Rashi. The decision to make him king came in Adar, but until he has the official minui, until he becomes melech, that's already in Nisan.
I might not be understanding the Steinsaltz, but he seems to be saying, I mean, even without the question of Mashiach or whatever, let's say that it was the middle of the year. It was Tammuz.
Right, so you have an overlap. Yeah.
You always have an overlap. So who does it?
That's the next line.
That's the next line. He didn't read it yet. So you'll have both. Both dates are correct. Either the last year of the previous king or the first year of the new king.
So Tana Rabbanan, Met Ba'adar Va'amad Achar Tachtav Ba'adar. Right? So it's not on the Gvul.
Okay.
Right? One guy died in Adar, the other guy becomes king in Adar. Monin Shana Lezu V'Lezu. That year counts as both the 15th year of King X and the first year of King Y, right?
So you could write
it's like 1978.
You can write either one on the star.
What in the church? What do they call 1978?
The year of our Yashki.
No. The year of the three popes. In 1978, there were three different popes, because Paul VI died, John Paul I became pope, a month later he's dead, and then John Paul II becomes. So there's one year, there was 1978, had three different popes. So they call it the year of the three popes. right? And right, and in a regular year, it doesn't matter. And as what any year that a pope dies, so
this is the popes, the years of their counted from when they came to the.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
so that's probably why.
Met b'nisan v'amad achar tachtav b'nisan monin shana lezu v'lezu. Met ba'adar v'amad achar tachtav b'nisan monin rishona l'rishon v'shnia l'shnia. Right, so he lays it out. If they die in the middle of the year, it doesn't matter. Right, if what do you call that? The borderland between the two kings doesn't happen to line up exactly at Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so any of those years, whether it's the end of the previous year or the beginning of the next year or somewhere in the middle, that year is the last year of the previous king and the first year of the next king. Right? And if it lines up exactly, so then, Shtei Dakot. Omar Mar, Meit Ba'adar Va'amad Achar Tachtav Ba'adar, Monin Shana Lezu V'Lezu, Pshita, yeah, okay, so obvious, right? Mahu de tema, so what is stating the obvious teaching us? Shata libi tre lo minini kamashmalon. Right? So you might have thought that you don't count 1 year. You would say, no, you could say that year, the year that there was a transition, we'll count that as year 15 or 16 of the previous king. And each king, unless the king becomes king on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the next king doesn't get a year one. It's connected to what we were saying actually about the Shnat Tohu. Right? In other words, that whole year would be year 15 of the previous king. And then the next Rosh Chodesh Nisan becomes year two of the new king. Kamash Malon, that's not the case. That year, you can have a year which has a double dating system. Right? The last of this and the first of that. We didn't answer your question, but next week we'll start with that topic of where do we get the number 5779 from.
You thought you have to bring
it back. Don't worry.
I wanted another piece. That's why I grabbed it.
Baruch Hashem. Amen.